why don't you add that for us?
We have an agenda. Welcome to the City of Mountain Park City Council Work Session for December 15th, 2021. I've got a couple of things that I'm going to announce, talk about real quick, and then we're going to do the appearances. So first of all, I'm going to ask council to consider, and we'll talk about it more in January, but I'd like to see about moving the January City Council meeting to the 31st, 1 week later than it is.
Good.
Yeah, because we've got a lot going on in January.
Yes.
And I'm also trying to get some things lined up so that that I will have an opportunity to maybe meet with, talk to, or communicate with some of the newly elected in Roswell once they're, you know, they're getting up to speed. Plus, I'm going to be out that week anyway, and I want to be able to talk intelligently to council and have a chance to do that before February, because we do have kind of a hard deadline we're going to have to talk about. So if council will consider that, we will certainly get as much done as we can before that, before I leave, and then we'll meet on the 31st, I believe.
So we do the work session the previous Wednesday?
Yes, work session the previous Wednesday, because I want to be able to talk to you then, and then it's just that I won't be there on the Monday, and I won't be able to carry it anymore, so. We've got some, you know, we've got dates for the swearing in. Let me just make sure I've got this here on my calendar.
I'm checking off to make sure it's right.
Yeah, just look at yours to make sure we're all on the same page. Swearing in on the 12th, we were going to do that here on the 12th in the evening. What time, Jennifer?
7.
7 o'clock. We would like to do a swearing in ceremony for the newly elected individuals, and we'd also like to do an appreciation for your service for the outgoing elected officials as well. So it'll be a double billing there. So council will have its off-site work session on the 15th, that Saturday. Everybody should have gotten their information from City Hall about that.
I didn't get a location.
It'll be 3 of us 5. This bill is out.
So your out bill's out?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, we can work with that. We'll figure it out. We'll talk about it and maybe something we try to adjust. We'll look at your schedules and see what we can do. All right, and of course, if we move the, we can move the council meeting to the 31st, that'll be the end of the month. So. All right, with that said, next item I wanted to mention is we finally got some information from the city attorney. Well, I had a conversation with the city attorney about the process for dissolving the charter. He has sent a email letter. Once he finishes the final draft, he's going to send it to me tonight. I probably should get it tonight. If not, I'll get it tomorrow. I will send it to council, and he will be here on Monday if you have any questions for him regarding the information that's contained in that letter. One of the other things that I have been working on and looking at, I've talked to Chief James Dane and some of the other folks involved in our public safety, and I have come to the conclusion that I think it would be beneficial for the City of Mountain Park to have a public safety liaison with the City of Roswell. This is a non-political position that will help with the relationship between MPBFR and with Roswell Fire Police and 911. This person would, you know, would be able to, we found out that we tended to get, make more progress with Roswell when the politicians were not involved. And I accept that because, you know, I'd rather see us make progress than to worry about whether, you know, who's winning or, you know, whatever. So I would like to establish a public safety liaison position in the beginning of next year. And I would also like to recommend and appoint Scott Reed, who has done an outstanding job. He was accepted readily by all parties in the conversation. So we can talk more about that in January with the new council, but I just wanted to make mention of that. I think it's going to be a progressive way to improve the relationships going forward. So now we will go to the appearances. Mr. Minden is here about his utility bill, and I don't see the other party, but if she shows up, we'll let her go ahead as well. So, George, you have the floor.
It's okay, thanks. In October, we had an unusual water bill for our home at 140 Cardinal Drive. We used 29,790 gallons of water that month. Jennifer, I think Jennifer called me. Chad let her know, she called me, I immediately ran up there to see what was going on. There was no water running through the meter at the time. So I then checked the meter every day and we were back to normal usage. So something happened in the month of October. The only time we've had that kind of water usage in the past were when we had a water line break between the meter and the house and water ran for a month. We replaced the internal parts of all of the toilets to make sure that we don't have any leaks there. There were no faucets running that anyone would admit to. Lori and I were out of town when this occurred. We think that it was our grandson and an outside faucet. He was pressure washing the back of their house using an electric pressure washer. The transformer caught on fire. In the scuffle that ensued, we think he disconnected the water line and then used it to try to finish the job or something. Anyway, we think that outside faucet was left on. But no one will own up to it. We were prepared to call a leak detector or a plumber to fix the problem if we could find it, obviously. But the November water bill had 3,760 gallons of usage. I've given you a chart that shows the average usage. If you exclude the month that the flooring contractor left a faucet on, the average usage in for that home for 10 months is 5,041 gallons. So I would ask that you would adjust the bill to 5,041 gallons of usage, and then we'd be happy to pay the wholesale cost for the additional water. We know it went through the meter, but it wasn't used for household purposes. So appreciate your considering the request. We ate it when the contractor, the water bill was twice what it should have been when the contractor left the kitchen faucet on. No one was home for 3 days because the floors were drying. That's fine. We ate that. That cost, but we'd like your help with adjustment for the October bill. It was an almost $900 water bill. That was the thing that got our attention. So water usage was 600% of normal, and the bill was 966% of normal or the average bill.
George, you're on sewer or you're on
sewer?
Yeah, sewer.
Yeah, we're on sewer for weekends.
So it didn't go into the sewer.
I don't think so. I think it was an outside faucet after the pressure washer incident.
All right. Anyone on council have any questions for Mr. Minden? All right.
So this was the fault of a contractor or a grandson?
A grandson. It was pressure washing when the pressure washer got fired.
And
so 2 months prior, we had a contractor who was finishing floors. So my daughter and her family were out of the house. They're actually living in our house next door. And he left the kitchen faucet on. When Lindsay returned to the house after 3 days, faucet was on. She turned it on. That resulted in 11,870 gallons.
Okay.
If you look at July,
okay.
That's
because I saw July. That one too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a water bill of $300, which is significantly greater than the average is about $100 to $110 for the house.
Okay. Thank
you. Yeah. We carry that forward to council. We would appreciate it.
Yep. All right. We'll do that.
Jennifer, how does this meet with a water policy?
For typical leak adjustments, we look at the past 3 months and average it, and then, use the water and subtract out the normal usage based on that average and charge at the lowest rate for the water above the average.
So what Mr. Minden's asking for is within our purview to do?
Yeah, possibly. I didn't do the math on the last 3 months. Yeah, I didn't do the math on the last 3 months, so I don't have an exact number.
Can we have an exact number by Monday night?
Mm-hmm.
So when this is, and add this to the agenda, please.
The last 3 months, if you exclude that July month, would actually be lower than what I calculated based on the 4-month average.
Okay.
10-month average.
All right, anyone else? Thank you. All right. So we're moving on to unfinished business. First item on the agenda is the process recommended research by city attorney as to the sale of city properties. We did have a conversation today about the process, but I would be more comfortable if we waited till Monday night and allowed the city attorney to explain this, only because he can answer any questions. And you can also identify any options. Does anybody have any questions or any comments at this time that they would like to bring up?
I guess the only thing, will we be asked to then make a decision that evening on some of the properties that we've been talking about?
Yes, yeah, we could, at least we will have clarification on what the options are and what his recommendation is. And if council chooses to vote on Monday night, they can. If they would like clarification in any respect, then we can move it to the January agenda under the new council. You okay with that? Or we can push it. I can try to get some information down between now and Monday night in writing, but it's one of those things where I'd love to have his sitting here, his presence, to make sure it's all clear.
As I recall, the last council-wide opinion was probably not to sell it, but to have him go for a variance if he so chose. Is that your recollection?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I was talking about 220 Trail.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're right. This is the she's not on here, but this is the consideration of selling the city property, which is the Spruce Street.
See, I wasn't listening to you at all.
Yes.
So we both failed again. Yes.
So what I just said, apply what I just said to number two. All right. We'll go back to number one, and we did finally have a conversation. I mean, does not want to grant easements because there could be a future where we need the ability to utilize the road. As far as that was one thing he said about Cyberwood Trail, but I didn't want to get into the weeds on trying to remember exactly what all the different things that he said in respect to Cyberwood Trail. As far as the selling of city property, he said that it would have to be an auction type thing if it were the entire lot. If there was a small parcel of property that was of no use to the city and it had an individual that would be a benefactor of receiving that, then that could possibly be done without it having to be put in a auction or bid type environment. So again, he said he would clarify this on Monday night as well.
And that's the way they did it 50 years ago.
What's that?
When they got rid of city properties, they auctioned them.
Yeah, it would have to be that way if it was an entire lot, especially if it was a buildable lot. Everybody should have a chance to bid on the opportunity to buy that.
Now, we had talked about looking at market value.
He didn't say anything about market value. He didn't give me any information in that respect. But I think, Jennifer, were we going to get an appraisal done on those lots, or did we have?
I do not know specifically.
Okay. Unfortunately, Karen is sick, and Karen was the one who was looking into that, and she has the answers.
So, as far as going to auction, we'll have to, before it can go to auction, there has to be a value set.
Sure, that would all have to be done.
So that would facilitate us.
Right. Having a figure that we could start with. So.
Yeah. My concern about going to auction would be that he might be the only one willing to be part of that auction.
It would have to be having an interest.
And he could get it cheap. I would prefer personally to not auction off that piece of property until we have our growth strategy identified, because that is a very could be a very expensive lot that can be used for other things.
Well, and personally, I feel like
push
that.
For 90 days, yeah. What? That's why I pushed for 90 days.
Yeah.
I feel like that a variance process also serves the purpose of letting the not the council be the ultimate decision maker, but gives the adjoining properties the opportunity to weigh in and voice their dislikes or likes about the disposition of that property. So, not saying that that's the way it should go, but I do think that it should be an option. All right. Anybody have any questions? Any comments?
So is he coming Monday?
Yes, he is.
And he is going to address this. I got twisted up between one and two.
I did. That's on me. I was looking at the wrong thing. Wrong part of the glasses.
Right.
I think what Jim shared with us is that Brandon has weighed in and said if we were to move forward, we should put it at auction.
If we're going to let go of that lot.
That's the precedent.
So that's him weighing in.
Yes.
I think our decision is.
No, it'd have to do it if it were the lot.
If we choose to do
it. We do the church, we would like, if we are only looking at getting rid of a portion of a lot, an unusable piece of city property, then that may be a different thing where we wouldn't have to go through the bid process. But he's saying that if we are looking at letting go of a lot, it does have to be handled a certain way through the bid process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Question?
Yes, sir.
Jim, I think it was here when this was discussed. He owns a 50-foot lot, so he owns a non-buildable lot. The city has an adjacent piece of property. Does the city only have a 50-foot lot, so it's also a non-buildable lot? You mentioned that the process, if it was a buildable lot, would require a... So
no, the city owns several lots through there. It's the adjacent. Co-op garden. They own like five lots.
Oh, it's the co-op
garden. It's the co-op garden. It's the upper end of the co-op garden where right now... the city tends to use for debris and stuff that's cleaned up until it can be.
Okay, so the city does have a buildable.
We do actually have buildable.
That parcel is a buildable.
Could be a buildable lot, yes.
And while I think that particular property facilitated this conversation, to Council Murphy's point, this forces us to think about the whole strategy, not park in general, to think about the whole strategy of what lots do with the city lots.
Yeah, that is potential. Strategic lot for the city.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just on the ARC comprehensive report, that lot is green, which on that, if it's the one that
it's either that lot or very close to the lots that are designated green space.
Yes, it's not green. Thank you. It's designated. Is it designated green space? If it's designated,
well,
then it is.
Well,
designated green.
And it's marked, it's colored green on map.
Yes. Which the legend says.
Yeah, it's we can confirm crazy. That in City Hall, but I, Carol, you want to go ahead and then I'll.
Yeah, I will say that the position of the city, since I have moved into the city and it's been a long time, is that the city lots were considered designated green space in perpetuity, and the intention of the city was to continue to obtain city lots and keep them green. I realize things change, but that was the way it was and has always been.
The intent, the spirit of the acquisition of green space was.
Lots obtained by the city were intended to be green space.
Yeah. And I do recall that being the case, especially when we acquired all those lots on the north shore of Lake Garrett.
There's a lot of people who purchased property knowing that and expecting that.
And I do agree that that was the intent when the acquisitions were taking place. I think we acquired, Sam Dickinson had a lot of lots that were unbuildable lots that were in the wetlands and stuff.
Right.
And those were all given to the city, which we know would not be sold because it would be of no value anyway. But I do think, and I'll confirm this by Monday night, but I do think the city has the right and the council the ability to change that position and sell those properties if it felt like that it needed to.
And then again, that's another question for the city attorney.
Well, we can confirm that.
Is that locked in, or can it be changed?
I think it can. In all honesty, it's kind of like to be perfectly candid, the Lakes litigation money. I mean, council, if it felt like it had to or needed to, it could actually turn that money over to the general fund and use it for whatever purposes it felt like it was needed. I'm just being, very candid about this. So. Not that they would, but...
I know, because there's a place for that money. Right,
exactly.
I hope not.
Yes, sir.
But I think you're completely correct. If grant money was used, for example, the nine lots across the lake, an easement, a conservation easement, was required as part of the purchase. Mm-hmm. So if the city used its own money, or if the property was deeded and
donated,
taxes or something, then council would have control over it, even though it may have been... conceptually green space, if there are restrictions, it would be deeded on the property like that.
Right. Thank you. I prefer to have the attorney speak to these things, and I think that would be what he would say.
Yeah. It'd be a source of funds issue.
Right. All right, anyone else? Yes?
Just a follow-up question. You mentioned that a portion of the lot could be up for grabs, essentially, and that process is up to council to decide if that parcel or that portion benefits the
adjacent property owner. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I would let him explain how that process works, you know, but again, it would just be a matter of, or a function of, the city does not recognize it as of any value, and it could be of value to an adjacent property owner, and the council could determine that it needed to be, or could be released or sold, or whatever the case may be. All right? Yes, ma'am?
It is a fact, though, that she was talking about the fact that she would lose so much privacy, and she really would. Homes would really be close if he gets a home in there.
Well, we always had that challenge in our park, is that...
Yeah, let's take that into consideration.
That's the call of the council when it comes to those kind of things.
Right.
All right, anyone else? Okay, moving on to new business. First item is the consideration of the council sanctioning the Citizens Grant Research Committee. Carol, I'm going to let you have the floor on this. I will say, I attended that meeting. It was a very good meeting, and I think it's something that's long overdue. This is in the spirit of what we felt like committees needed to be. Instead of being mandatory, this was people that were genuinely interested in seeing, you know, what could be done and how it could be done, and working together to do it. And so I certainly am glad that I was able to participate in that. You have the floor.
I am hoping I get the wording right, but I would like to propose that council sanction a citizen grant and research committee in forming four separate committees. I think we've got four committees. And these are areas that we would like to get the approval of council to research, pursue possible grants, just try to organize it. Each working group would have to be sanctioned by council. Each group would have a goal and a plan and a target date. Y'all, please correct me if I'm wrong, but I've got down public safety and fire, the tech and infrastructure. We had proposed watershed and environment, lakes and stormwater. We've also thrown around community parks and recreation and a budget and finance. But we need council to sanction it so it can kind of just recognize it as being official, and that way the groups can work to look at pursuing grants.
Any questions? Yes, sir.
No questions, just a clarifying point. You did great.
No, I mean it.
the four working groups that would come out of the Citizen Grant and Research Committee would be partnered with any existing committees that council chooses to appoint or sanction as well. So it's more that, so if there's a public safety and fire grant working group, they would work with the public safety oversight committee. But those working groups would specifically be formed for the purposes of seeking grants or funding from federal, state, or foundation grants. They would look at only pursuing one grant at a time, and they would be time bound so that they could ebb and flow as needed based off of deadlines and rules and things.
Thank you. And the city has also been working with Cisco, and they have been of incredible assistance. We've had a future council member, I don't know if I should name names, but has undergone a grants training to write grants, and so we're really trying to position ourselves to be more aggressive in pursuing this. But we've got to have council to sanction it.
I just want to clarify something else. I don't think we can, I don't want this to be too confining, to say we're only going to look at one grant at a time.
Well, to write one grant at a time. Because if we try to go, if one working group, sorry, yes, apologies. Each working group could go after grants, and they would be researching multiple grants. But it would be the ideal that to the extent possible, they concentrate on one grant at a time based off of the deadlines for those grants.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks for that clarification, both of you. Yeah,
thank you.
Exactly. So You know, with that said, I think, you know, on Monday night, if you would like to make the motion to recognize, or a resolution to recognize the grant committee, that's the ask. And at that point, I will tell you, or at this point, I will tell you that the committee crafted four basic points of our request, which I forwarded to our House Representative Speaker Pro Tem Jan Jones, who is going to the state, to the governor's office, to see about working on getting us some of these funds next year. Hopefully, there are still some funds available that we might be able to take advantage of.
I'm feeling very optimistic.
Yeah. So I think I sent the email today for you guys to her
thank
response.
Thank you so much for doing that.
So good.
Yeah.
All right. So I think it's going to be a good committee to have, because if there is any money out there, then the biggest challenge is finding it, going after it. And so that sounds like what we need to do. Anybody have any questions or comments about the grant committee? All right. This does not preclude us from having other committees. If there is other committees that any elected official or citizens would like to pursue, we are certainly open to having individuals come forward to the city and propose the ability to work on certain things, whether it's budget and finance, or whether it is city property restoration or beautification or whatever the case may be. I think the goal here is to get as many citizens as possible engaged and each contributing a little bit, instead of everybody, or a few people have to do it all. So if you know or you speak to someone that has something that they think would be a worthwhile effort, we certainly would love to hear about it. All right? Any more questions or comments? Moving on to the next item is the discussion of replacing the 2-inch water line with a 6-inch installation on Cardinal Drive. I believe Councilman Hendricks is interested in seeing this come through, so I'm going to let you have the floor.
Okay. This is the project we tried to get CDBG money for the last 2 years and could not qualify for. This, so far as we can tell, this is the last place inside the city limits that didn't get put on a 6-inch main, which means we have two fire hydrants that are running off a 2-inch main.
Well, isn't that what that green one is over by George's?
Yeah, little standpipes.
Okay. Yeah. I've always wondered what that
is. They look like water fountains.
Right. George's Fountain of Youth.
It's not so good.
We tried to get this done 6 years ago, and we had a bid then, but council wasn't of a mind to do it then. Every time they work on the main on Old Mountain Park Road, virtually the junction box where this 2-inch line comes out of blows up, because the pressure feeding from 6 and the 2-inch line just can't take it. So we had our DO go through and give us a revised quote from the one that was 6 or 7 years ago. And his cost now is $55,082.75. Yeah, it's steep. It would have been nicer if we'd had it done 6 years ago, because thanks to COVID and the price of everything going up 15%, it's a little tough.
Two questions.
Yes.
First of all, I know everything in this city doesn't need to be driven out of a business case. But right. What kind of expense, but to some level we need to understand what expenses would we avoid if we did this?
Every time that box blows up, it's $31,000 to dig it up, tear the old one out, put a new one in.
So, I don't remember, and maybe I'm foggy, but I don't remember us approving a $31,000 expense recently.
No, it's been 4 years now.
Okay.
The box has blown out twice in the last 9 years.
Okay. The second, so that's the data point we have.
Right.
The second question I have is, this is a huge expenditure, the sole source bid. And so my question to council is, should we bid this out
And I know there's some issues with some.
I was just gonna say that.
Okay.
This needs to be bidded.
Okay. And I believe we can, even though Ardito is a preferred vendor, a vendor of choice.
However.
I would have to look into that, but I think we can do this on a bid process.
I think we should.
All right, yes, ma'am.
Furthermore, I would like to point out that we are getting ready, very in all likelihood, to pass at the federal level an Infrastructure Act, which may very well provide us some funds available to do this exact sort of thing.
I think if that, here's the good news, if we do it and we pay for it and that passes, then we might be refunded for it. But there's no guarantee at this point.
There's not, but my sources say it's very likely.
Right, and I think if I'm not mistaken, I think we have to come up with the money on the front end, which we can do. I think we have the resources.
That makes sense.
It's just a big chunk of money. I need to talk to Karen, because this is one of the things that I meant to ask her tonight. I thought that we had some money. Jennifer, do you know what the $106,000?
I don't know the stipulations of it, but I know it was, I think, during a lot of the COVID.
COVID stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that
was. We can figure out how to tie this together.
Yeah.
No, okay. Well, we can look into that. Yes, sir.
So the bid was my first question. The second question I have, to clarify, what is this pipe used for? Is it for delivering?
It delivers water. It delivers water eventually all the way up Carter.
Okay.
But it has two fire hydrants of running off at 2 inch rather than a 6 inch like the rest. All of Thrush, all of Russell, and all of Robin are on 6. Okay. Cardinals and Stone 2.
So the expense then should technically come out of the enterprise fund, not the general fund.
Yes, it would.
Yes,
that's why I said we have the resources.
So George, I'm not in favor.
Imagine how many gallons we would have used in October.
Glad we got that out of the way.
Yeah, George, you can have a houseboat.
All right, so any other questions or comments? Mr. Hendrick, you got a hand up, or are you just using that for a lot of stuff?
Would the fire hydrant have to be replaced if the...
No, the fire hydrant does not have to be replaced, but basically every connection for each of the houses will have to be replaced. And that's a lot of what this expenditure is. Because literally, they're taking up a 2-inch line, putting in 6, and then making all new connections, feeding the water meters as they go down Clark.
So that fire hydrant on the other side of the street, is it, and it's used by the fire department for fireworks and all of that. We had to pay for it when we built the house, but would that 2-inch line kind of system?
I don't know. At this point in time, after they did the replacement back in 2007, it doesn't really show if when they came off the end of Thrush, if the 6-inch went on down or if the 2-inch went down.
Right.
So they'll only know about that when they get to that juncture.
Yeah.
At this point in time, they're anticipating it's still 2 inches.
Will that close the loop?
That will close the loop.
Okay, good.
I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Speaking of fire hydrants, have the fire hydrants been tested in the last few years?
Yes.
I never see any.
Yes.
I never see that.
I can attest to that.
Yes, sure.
You see it? I never see them.
Yes.
I see them.
They wash my car, they wash out my driveway, they wash the side of my house.
Well, they used to clean out the culverts too, when they were, but they found out they
did.
I haven't seen them checking at all.
So Jennifer's going to check and see if we have retained earnings in our enterprise fund that will pay for this and not necessitate a tax increase.
Right.
Or a budget.
I've talked to Lourdes. We have money in the enterprise.
Yeah,
that
like $500,000, but I just wondered if.
Right.
Oh, yeah, no. We're not talking. We're not talking about having
this
facilitate a tax.
That's.
And then
that's
the second point is probably putting out a competitive bid, and the third point is, if that takes a little bit of time, that may not be all bad, hoping that the supply chain issues can ameliorate themselves. And
well, and again, this infrastructure bill.
And the fact that it's a competitive bid.
All right, anyone else? Comments, questions? All right, Lloyd, you're going to put that on the, you're going to have that, take that on Monday night?
Yeah.
All right. Item number three is the discussion of engaging GMA's IT in a box. This is something we probably are a long overdue before. It would handle our email communications, our servers, posting of our different items on the website. For as many years as I've been here, Bill Schmidt, well, actually, when I first moved here, we didn't have a website, and we didn't even have a city credit card, but that's okay. We did eventually get both. Bill has been doing this for free for years, and we greatly appreciate it. Sometimes it was challenging because I think we've been hacked a couple of times. I know people have called me and wanted to know what my email was really about or what was going on. But we currently have an issue with emails not being accepted from the city to AT&T, Bell South, Earthlink, Mindspring, to name a few. Hopefully, this would eliminate all of these concerns, and it would be the right time because Bill has announced basically that he is going to retire from doing this for the city anymore starting next year. So we're at the point. It is a very good program. A lot of small cities utilize this. It is cost effective, and therefore, I know you've got a conference call, Bruce.
Thanks.
Thank you. We'll see you Monday night. So Karen looked into it. Jennifer, did you help her with the...
Yeah, I have some details. I don't have everything. I wasn't on the conference call with the gentleman, so I don't have those specifics. In looking through everything, we were recommending the gold plan. It has on-site and remote support. It has backup and recovery. It has document and records retention built in.
Page 413.
It has a website. They will actually make a website for us and maintain the website and update the website for us with that plan as we need it. So there's definitely a lot of advantages to that plan over the others. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How does this compare to our current cost structure? I know Bill was free on board, but do any other costs that we incur go away, or is this a net add of roughly 14,000?
I don't know costs related to different things that we have. Obviously, we don't have direct IT support in the office for computer and items that are in the office, so that does have to be handed out if there's any issues that can't be resolved.
So for me to be able to make a good decision, I would want to know what's our current cost structure? Because $16,000 a year is a pretty large net add, even though
16.
Well, it's $1,300 a month, so I'm just
doing my stupid math.
Okay. But that being said, I'm also a big fan of outsourcing, and given if we can get higher service levels and it's easier to do business, I'm fine with it. As long as we understand what the incremental delta is.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is Zoom covered on this, or is Zoom just...
That I don't know. I'd have to...
Okay.
No, I think Zoom's going to continue to be a separate. It's $14.95 a month.
The other thing they do cover, though, is Microsoft Office 365.
And if they have that, then we would probably not need... We would
so
have
that is a
Microsoft
part.
Teams or
Teams.
Mm-hmm. We would not need Zoom.
Okay.
So we would utilize that. Save that $15 a month.
That's not quite true. But this is what I said. I've been talking about some things.
Yeah.
This is it.
Okay.
Contentiously.
So what would be the...
Sorry, Carol had a grant.
I'm sorry, Carol. For you.
Well, I was going to say that based on what we've been learning from Cisco and the grants committee, that this is directly correlated to monies with the American Rescue Plan Act. It would qualify for funding underneath that. This is why we've got this technology and infrastructure committee that we're proposing. This is directly related to it.
The second priority.
We can get funding for this.
Most likely, at least with the hardware pieces and a couple of other things.
That's a yes.
Yeah. I probably have 50 questions that you can't answer. And the only reason I have 50 questions is because I recently, we, my own consulting company has recently gone through this whole bidding process out for cybersecurity and system securities and various, all the services that they have, endpoint security.
She'll let him research.
Seriously, I'd be happy to, you know, get on the phone with this person because I would have 50 other questions for him. Mm-hmm. Because the question is, okay, they're providing Microsoft Office 365, but what level service? Are they talking business standard or business premium? Because the only way you're going to get the Azure security things that they're talking about is business premiums. That's an incremental cost above what they're saying here for licensing from an email perspective. So that's an incremental cost. The other part is, are they going to manage the, how are they going to manage the endpoint security, firmware updates, the system updates? I have real concerns about having an OS firewall, as they said in here, because that requires that making sure that the computer constantly stays up to date on its firewall control services. It's OS operating system firewall versus a hardware network firewall that you would necessarily put into the office and hall there. So again, I could run through a litany of questions here.
But we, none of us can answer this. So
that's right.
I would like to ask you, if you would not mind, maybe we can facilitate a meeting, phone call. I would love to see if, you know, us get the answers to some of these questions, because they're very valid questions.
And then from a holistic point of view, the question becomes, does the city maintain a cybersecurity insurance policy?
I can almost certainly tell you that.
Because if you put something like this in, you'd also want to get a general liability cybersecurity policy. So,
all right, that may be what we can do as well.
If we have a breach, even though we have this, they're not necessarily going to cover us.
Good Lord, I know we don't, because we've had how many breaches now? I mean, the Russians hacked us at one point. We were
I think
they looked at us and they said, they ain't got enough money.
Perhaps to answer Mark's question somewhat indirectly, this is not out of line with what quotes that we're getting from the company's perspective.
All right, good. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else have any comments or questions? I do think it's important. I mean, I jest about the us having, you know, very much money, but we do now. We have a couple $1 million in the bank, and so we did one thing. We did spread the money out among several banks to meet the, to not go over the maximum of the FDIC insurance, stuff like that. But this is also something that I think we need it's the right time to look very closely at it.
Yes.
So I do appreciate if you're willing to maybe have a phone call with this gentleman and answer some of these questions.
Thanks. All right.
Okay, next item is the consideration of a designation of the Elmec project for 2022. Jennifer, do you have any information on who we currently have on the list? Or that's the paving, the local paving. Local, municipal, something. See, again, unfortunately, Karen holds the cards on this because she had.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if she has anything in here.
No, she didn't have anything. I looked and I didn't see anything in the packet about it.
Yeah,
so.
I don't see anything in here specifically to that, and I do not know.
I think what we'll do on Monday night is we'll bring the we had a list that we worked off for years that, you know, as it came along. We just need to see where we are on that list and if we need to add any more particular areas, and what we'll do, council can discuss the certain areas of paving where paving needs to be done, and then we can have areas added to the list. It's only 2.2 tenths of a mile or something like that, so it's not a lot, but actually in Mount Park it turns out to be could be an entire street. Mm-hmm. So and then of course we always have the option of adding to that some funds if we have it available to continue to pave the rest of what paving does not cover. So we'll get a little more information about that on Monday night. All right. Mm-hmm. Anybody have any questions or anything? I think the last paving project was where? It's been a while, but we had one that.
It was Sourwood.
Yeah, I want to say Sourwood, but I don't know for certain. But I want to say Sourwood.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was.
We were waiting for a long time because Roswell was supposed to help us with the paving, and we had some issues with getting on their list close enough to the top to actually get some paving done. Next item is the number five, which was added. These are estimates to have five trees removed. There apparently are some trees that are threatening and need to be taken down. There are two short leaf pines at the end of Spruce Street and Circle. A dead pine, a dead sassafras, a dead double poplar behind the community building shed. Yes.
We're at risk.
Yes. Have you seen the trees? It's scary.
So the total for removing these trees would be $2,300.
That's
excellent.
That's
price up for Cedar.
So who would like to bring this to the table? Councilman Murphy? Okay. Monday night.
That's the rule of the nine, isn't it?
I like Harold in the 55,000.
Ms. Nodder is nodding. All right, kids, Frank's not over yet. Ms. Nodder's not here. We don't have another appearance. Does anybody have anything they would like to bring to council before we dismiss?
I just want to know, sorry, if the mold has been remediated.
Yes.
If I can put the...
They finished that Friday.
Take the stuff back.
You have free reign of the building. Or
really?
Whatever. I have to be careful with you about how I retract that.
Yes.
We'll talk about it. I think if you talked to James recently, did he tell you?
Tell me what?
About being able to get the files? Talking about looking at the documents?
No.
Okay. Because I meant to ask him if you had spoken recently.
I have spoken to him recently, but not about that.
Oh, because I spoke to him today, and it was not about that. So I just wanted to thank you.
We'll both speak to him again.
Yeah, we'll do that again. Yes, sir.
The Public Safety Oversight Committee has a final December report.
It's beautiful.
We've circulated to some people, not everybody yet, just one for grammar.
We're cleaning it up.
Minor tweaks.
Comments from the rest of the committee. We'd like to do a readout Monday.
Oh, Monday? All right. Let's be sure to add that on the agenda as well, Jennifer.
Yep.
All right. Dave, yes, sir.
Nancy, I know you had said something on social media today about the concert that was conducted for you and Lynette. Were you still collecting data, or did you want to kind of give us a briefing of what you're thinking?
Thank you. I looked at the code just to see what our code says about...
Background, she had guys blowing for like 2.5 hours by their house.
Yeah, so three, it was a crew, hire a crew of three leaf blowers with the backpack, the big loud commercial leaf blowers. That property was sold, and the new owners... I think are moving in, and so they were just blowing the entire front and backyard. Small property, but for whatever reason, it was 2 hours and 50 minutes, and it's extremely loud with all the windows closed and everything. I just happened to be at home. I put in, earplugs. I could still hear it, and it just went on and on and on. Finally, at about 4, it started at 2. It may have started earlier. I didn't get home until 2. Lynette said she heard it.
I was out walking the dog.
Even before that.
I knew it was killing her because she's very sensitive to stuff like that.
And another neighbor I know called, I probably spoke to Jennifer before I did. Jennifer, I was the annoyed neighbor who called. I'm like, girl, but apparently, initially, they were blowing leaves across Mountain Park Road into the culvert on the other side of the road.
Yes, exactly.
Filling in what they thought was a ditch, apparently.
Then
they opened the gate that's on the property of the property owner and were blowing the backyard leaves from that person's property onto my property.
Uh-huh.
It's all wooded. I didn't care about the leaves. It's all wooded between our two properties. But it gave me a reason to go out there and say, I waved my arms and got their attention, and I said, y'all have been blowing for 2 hours now. And I said, you're now blowing the leaves and the fumes towards my property. And they said, we've got about another 35 minutes to go. I said, no, close the gate. Do not blow any more leaves. I said, do you see that pink thing that designates my property right there at the fence of the neighbor? So I got them to at least... stopped blowing towards my property. They continued for about 15 more minutes. So it was, they finally quit. I said, I'm calling our code officer, and I sent
an email to,
I don't have his number, but I sent an email to Whit Engel, and I called and vented on poor Jennifer here, tried to remain calm. But what I would like to see is just if we could consider, you know, I looked at the code. We have a 15-minute limit on dog barking between whatever hours, 9 to 9, and a 5-minute limit on dog barking after 9 p.m. We have no limit on the length of time you can run one of these very loud decibel leaf blowers. And they are very loud, and they have to wear
ear
protection.
Yeah.
So I would like to see maybe just a limit. We have limits as to the time of day. They can't do it after 9 p.m. to 7 a.m. You can't do it in that weekdays, and it's 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. Saturday, Sunday. But that if they want to get out there with leaf blowers, three of them at a time for 3 hours, there's no limit to that. And not only is it noise pollution, but there's a great deal of actual air pollution. I mean, it's blowing pesticides and fertilizers and animal poop. And if you read about it, it's pretty nasty what they really are blowing. And it blows for, they say like a half a mile. There was a gasoline smell inside my home with all my windows and doors closed. After all of that,
Nancy, are you gonna investigate and make a recommendation, or are you asking that we investigate?
Well, I know the council is changing over and all that, so I posted it on Nextdoor and Facebook, wondering if any other neighbors, is it just me that has a problem with like noisy leaf blowers? Does anybody else find it a nuisance in our neighborhood? The pollution.
Yeah, it's amazing how late at night sometimes they do this too. I mean, I guess because it's darker earlier.
But the length of time was ridiculous.
Yeah. Because it's just ongoing noise. Nothing
more. Right in the yard and mountain park thing.
I'm all for individual rides.
Like fenced in, and they still blew it for that length of time.
But all right. I understand individual rides. I'm all for individual property owner rights. But when somebody else's right to use their blower starts to interfere with my right to just
Well, it's like quiet. Loud music. If I played my music real loud, you would have every right to complain about that.
So I would like to just propose we amend the code to put something in there to say limit gas powered in particular, because they're louder than the battery type. Yeah, but limit high decibel gas powered lawn equipment to 45 minutes.
Non-emergency. Non-emergency. Like, you wouldn't want to limit a chainsaw when somebody's trying to clear a road, right?
Right.
You're talking about equipment used for cosmetic uses.
Right. Just regular lawn maintenance stuff. You know, to me, does that sound reasonable? To our lawns are all tiny.
She's got the yard in the
barn.
To me, those three guys could have literally like rent and bagged the leaves in 2 hours and 15 minutes. I mean, I could get out there and like pretty much clean that little lawn in 2 hours. But
two comments. One, that does it make sense to amend the city council law based on the one incident? I'd be curious to see if I'd be curious to see if there are more incidents like that.
Which is, I think, where she was trying to find out with the
code. The other thing, I know on our street, there's three of us in a row that employ the same lawn service. Mm-hmm. And they come and they do all three of our houses. Mm-hmm. And they're very reasonable. I mean, I think they're done with our house in 30 minutes, and we have a big yard. Mm-hmm. And they blow the whole yard. But how would you be able to police, you know, like whose yard they're doing for 45 minutes or whatever? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
There's three houses in a row. So I would just be real cautious. And then that also opens up, you know, the other noises, like the construction. You know, our neighbors are getting a deck done, and all day today we were hearing the saw and the hammering and everything like that. I just think that when you open the door to something like that,
Just aware that there are other cities.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Atlanta, if you just Google it, even the city of Atlanta, and many, many, many other cities across the U.S., some cities, like obviously California, places like that, have literally banned those type of commercial.
Yeah, but we complain about full compliance being ridiculous, and then we want to go and add something like this. That's my only thought. I think it's
yeah.
Well, here's what we can do. We can look into it. We can see what other cities are doing. We can let the council discuss it and citizens weigh in.
Yeah.
And then we'll see if that's the will of the community. And I want to get to Councilman Silver because
thank
I should wait patiently.
So I would say, number one, take a picture. Pictures are admissible as evidence and send it to code compliance.
Yeah.
You knew to do that. I'm glad you did it, especially if they are blowing leaves into ditches.
Yeah.
That is in the code.
Yeah.
That is a violation of the code. And it's particularly obnoxious that they're blowing them into your yard.
Well,
that's outrageous.
Apparently, Chad went over and talked to the crew. There's another neighbor who called about the blowing of the leaves in the culvert. I talked to her after this was all over. I said, did you listen to the 2.5 hours, 50 minutes of all that racket? And she said, yes, I called City Hall. They said,
so they weren't responsive to the ladies. It took a man to go over there and talk to them? That's offensive.
Oh, Lord, there we go.
Okay, the second thing I was going to suggest is we do have options. I agree with Jim. We need to look at what other cities do as far as noise ordinances. It could be possible that we could legislate having only battery-powered blowers. I'm an owner of one. But, you know, that's an option, but we've got to pattern it on the precedent and see what other cities are doing.
Yeah.
We don't want to start a new ordinance without looking at policy. You've got to really look at policy.
Well, the thing, too,
and
is
then
we have
got
to...
a third thing.
Okay.
My third question is, did you find out who was firing the gun?
Oh, yeah.
We had an automatic weapon.
I heard about that from several
people. I know who that is.
We found out who that was.
Was it in Mountain Park or outside of
it? It sounded to me like it was
either that or Brandon.
Sounded like it was in Ansley at Lakeside. It sounded like somebody was testing out
a birthday. Yeah, I've heard Hatfield. I've heard Bramble Oaks. I've heard.
It was on Cypress.
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, I was down by the garden and heard it.
I missed
it. Straight up spruce, either on spruce or over in.
It was about 10 rounds, and that was it. But all I could think of was someone was getting gunned down at the Target.
Well, and the problem with that is, you know, I didn't know exactly where it was coming from. And unless you live right next door or you're in close proximity to where you can pretty much call the police and say, yeah, it's right here. I could have called police. I couldn't even know where that was in Mountain Park. And so that's the problem we have right now with public safety is, is it in
Mount
Park or is it one street over in the city?
Well, here's what I tell you, if you call, period, then that puts them on notice that there's some activity out here that warrants them being aware. And I'm sure if it was in Bramble Oaks, somebody that lives even closer to it would probably call as well, and they know it was Cherokee.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a collective effort is what it takes, because in here, sound is so...
It bounces off.
It bounces off of everything over these lakes and stuff. And so it's hard to tell. I've heard like 5 or 6 different places. They said somebody said it was on the green. Somebody was shooting somebody on the green.
Yeah, I mean, it really is.
Which
did.
We know that it wasn't the case.
Somebody violating the violence.
If you'll notice, it happens about every 3 or 4 months.
Usually two reasons why we have gunshots in Mountain Park. One of those is coyotes, if they're after someone's pet. I mean, we actually have people that have shot at them. That's happened across over at Ansley and whatever the other place, Huntington or whatever it is. We've heard them over there, and they said it turns out it was a coyote attacking a family pet. The other thing is domestic disturbance. And I hope to God that it's a coyote, because you surely don't want it to be the more, you know, horrible situation where it's in home shooting. So,
sure. Nancy, I will look into those noise ordinances in surrounding cities like Milton and see what they've got.
Yeah, if you, anybody, you know,
Sandy Springs.
Yeah.
The city of Roanoke.
Well, good, that, this is how, you know, the rule of the...
I'm talking about the blower noise, the blower.
This is how we get the ordinances that we deserve, because you, you bring an issue to council and you, you, you know, we do our research, we do our homework. We, the highest form of flattery is plagiarism, so if we go get some, somebody else's ordinance and we kind of craft something, if that's what council determines we need to do. I think the important thing is, we have to look at it, and this is the term that I always like, geometrically. We have to be sure we take into consideration, because in some cases, it may not be one resident, it may be 2 hours, but it may be 30 minutes here, 45 minutes here. So there are a lot of things that are going to be a challenge, but I certainly understand, because I get, there's a crew that comes every Friday to my neighbor behind me in Brookfield, and they're out there forever. I work out of them. So it makes it difficult when you're trying to concentrate or you're on the phone or whatever the case may be, and there's this incessant, you know, thank you folks for being here. I know it's getting late. Let's all go home. We'll see you Monday night. Thank you.